Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you came by. Happy Monday. If you're living here in Florida, you are enjoying this very crisp fall weather. I think we all enjoy it, even though we don't like it to last for very long. We do all enjoy it, and we do all enjoy the change, the little change in the seasons that we get here in Florida. Well, because last week I had some technical issues and we were unable to do the show that we would normally do on Friday, which is kind of a week in review, I'd like to start today's show with that and kind of go over everything we talked about last week. We had an interesting week. We talked about Munchausen's disease. We talked about Munchausen's by proxy. We talked about teachers, the Ron Clark story in particular, which was, I think, very... not just interesting, but motivating for all of us, because in one way or another, we're all teachers. On Thursday, Tuesday, we talked about bullies to buddies, and we went through some of the information that we've learned from Izzy Kalman. And Thursday we did talk about the history of Halloween, which I found to be not really surprising, but it amused me to see how it began and what it is today. And we often find that out when we do that research for our holidays. As the years go by, everything changes with time, people, circumstance, etc. So we're going to talk about all that today. I want to bring in Shelley because I have a couple things I want to start some thought on, because we're going to talk about them the rest of this week. Good morning, Shel.
Good morning, Renee.
How you doing, babe?
Doing real good. And you?
I'm good. I'm good. I mean, you know, pretty good for an old broad. Let's put it that way.
Better than most.
Yeah, well, you're right. You know, that's true. I think we need to remember that every day. You know, there's always somebody that has more aches and pains, has more personal woes, you know, always, no matter who you are. So that's true. So you should always be grateful for what you do have and maybe what you don't have. So I want to, before we start the weekend review, I want to give everybody a little bit of time to think about some of the things that I want to talk about the rest of this week. And one of them is an interesting conversation I had with someone that actually does a blog talk show on his own and is a mover and shaker in the world of veganism. He gives lectures all over the world. His name is Paul. And I ran into him at the Hippocrates Festival. And he wanted me to talk about the fact that he and his daughter, Noah, who is, I think, like 5, is taking karate lessons so that she doesn't get bullied in public school. And I listened, and I was amused by the fact that just this week I found out that my great-granddaughter, Ariana, is also taking karate, and her mom has been posting pictures on Facebook about how much fun she's having and everything, and both people are doing this, I believe, for the same reason, to teach their kids to not be afraid and to feel empowered by these lessons. However, there was a lot of talk that I got from Paul that I had, I don't know, a lot of, some of it was disturbing to me because it goes against everything we teach. So if you know some little people that are taking karate, I mean anybody for that matter, I'd love to hear people's input on why, if it's exercise or just because they thought it would be fun, or if they're scared and they're doing it for protection, or if you're scared and you're making them do it for protection. I'd love to hear about that. Didn't your oldest niece take karate or something way back when, Shell?
Well, no, our whole family took it at one time. We had enrolled in a kung fu studio, and I'm sorry, taekwondo. I took kung fu at a different time. But my whole family was into taekwondo. My nephew became a black belt, and that's how he met his wife. She was one of the instructors. She's a black belt, and that's my nephew who's in the Air Force. So very heavily into the martial arts, and then my whole family was taking it. My sister and I were going, the other two girls were going. So the only one that went all the way to black belt was my nephew and his wife. At that time, it was just his girlfriend. I had actually injured myself at the time very badly, and was actually incapacitated for about 6 months I had to stop. And when I stopped going, everybody else kind of like faltered, and then we kind of lost the rhythm and didn't go back. And that happens to a lot of people. Sometimes it's harder to start back up again. But for a long time there, we were going every week. It was phenomenal. But it's if you go to the right type of school with the right intent, it's okay to go for protection. It's okay to go to be more self-assured. And if you go to an appropriate school, what they teach you is to walk away when you can. Now, not all schools teach that, but the ones that are teaching the right martial art mentality is that you can defend yourself if you need to, even against a knife or a gun or whatever, but that if you have the opportunity to walk away from something, that's the appropriate thing to do. Not to be an aggressor, just because now you have the ability to overpower someone else. You should never be the aggressor. You should only use martial arts to protect yourself when you have no other choice. It's like using a gun. And that's kind of the mentality they teach you, is to not use it unless you have absolutely no choice. If you're in a room and you're near a door and you believe you're going to get attacked, walk out the door. Or run out the door.
Well, it's interesting that you have gotten this from this, because the conversation I had was really very different, and I imagine it has a lot to do with the teacher. But I don't want to talk any more about it, but I'm glad you mentioned all of that stuff to get everybody's thought process moving, because I think we need to talk about this, and we will talk about it on Bullies to Buddies Day this week, which is tomorrow. So I look forward to that, but let's don't go there anymore. And then I also want to talk about Brittany Maynard. I didn't want to talk about it today because I get way, way, way too emotional. So I need some time to, kind of to allow this to sink in a little bit and understand the worth of it, so it's not so heartbreaking to me. But she's the young woman who ended her life, moved to Oregon so that she could use the death with dignity law. And she was only 29 years old and suffered from brain cancer. So I want to talk about her. So okay. I'd like to have everybody know those couple things. And there's a few more things, but I don't need everybody to have a heads up. But I think those two topics are going to, maybe create some interest. And, again, if you don't want to call in the show, all you got to do is Facebook me. That works a lot for a lot of you. But let's go to Monday all the way last week, and we talked about Munchausen's. And we found out a lot of stuff about Munchausen's, and we found out how it was derived and all the ramifications from it, including Munchausen's by proxy, which is where a parent or a caregiver actually makes the person in their care sick so that they can, first of all, get extra attention, second of all, feel important. After the show, I remembered a story about a nurse who was convicted of killing several of her elderly patients, and she
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And
yep.
she thought she was, you know, kind of like doing God's work. And even though I find some validity to that thought process, because if you're immersed in that that nursing arena or hospital arena, or even worse, a home where everybody is just waiting, you know, kind of like a God's waiting room place,
mm-hmm.
I can see how you could get there,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have that right. No matter how you cut it, you don't have that right unless you're talking about yourself. Don't you feel that
right.
way?
Yep, yep. Well, some of the nurse you're talking about did it on her own, thinking
right.
that she was
oh, yeah.
an angel of mercy type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are other professionals, and I'm really on the fence with this one because you never know what you'll do unless you're in that situation. But
yep.
there were other
True.
Nurses, professionals, or family members that did that because the individual involved begged to be released from their suffering. They didn't know of any way to end it. They were just languishing, and it became to a point that they went to a trusted person, either a nurse or a caretaker or a family member, and that person finally succumbed because they couldn't stand to see the person suffering. So it wasn't actually their decision. It was the person who was ill's decision. So that's it. I want to make sure that people understand we're not talking about that. We're talking about
right.
somebody that's in a caretaker role, a nurse or something like that. And there's been more than one story like this. There's been male nurses that have done it. There's been female nurses that have done it. There's been multiple stories about this where they take it upon themselves to say the suffering of this individual is too much and I'm going to mercifully help them end their lives. But meanwhile, the person didn't ask them to. They just made that decision themselves by watching the person. And that's, I don't want to talk about the other issue because it's so controversial, but this issue is black and white. They're playing God then. They've put themselves on a pedestal where they think they have the right to make that choice, and they don't. That's a mental aberration.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like you say, there is the Jack Kevorkian deal, and that's very controversial, but it is totally different. And
right.
my own brother asked me to do that.
Yep.
And I just looked at him and laughed at him. And he got upset with me, and I just kept laughing until he started laughing because there was no way. There was no way I could do that. I don't care what the reason was. I just couldn't have done that. So, but we do understand that is a different scenario, absolutely, positively. But this Munchausen's has to do with that and also, you know, becoming like they called her the Angel of Mercy, or she called herself that. But it was another one of those deals where, you know, that takes kind of a mind that's not firing on all its cylinders, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
In a position of being a hero or being a good Samaritan. They're either creating the situation. Like what about the, and this is another thing you've seen in the news, again, with medical professionals, sometimes with fire, you know, like, how many times you hear the stories about the firemen who set the fires.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
And then rush in to put it out so that they're the hero. You know, it's like a hero syndrome, which is sort of like the Munchausen problem in that they're looking for positive attention. In the Munchausens, they're looking for the attention. Oh, my God, what a good Samaritan. Look how she has to deal with this sickly child or sickly husband or whatever. You know, oh, you're such a good person. The fireman or the nurse that's, like, bringing on strokes on people and then rushes in to save them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have this hero complex where they have to be recognized as, you know, being Johnny on the spot and saving somebody's life. The problem is sometimes, well, first of all, I mean, the problem is you just shouldn't do things deliberately, but the problem is that sometimes they don't make it in time. Sometimes they set the fire, they didn't realize there was somebody still in the building, or sometimes they give the person the injection to bring on a heart attack or a stroke, and then they're not able to save them, you know? So, you know, but they think, like, no harm, no foul if they save everybody, and then they get all this attention to boot. But it doesn't work, and usually they get caught because somebody doesn't survive, and then it becomes a further investigation. That's usually how they're caught.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I, you know, it's like everything we do. I mean, I don't want to make this sound like it's not a big deal, because it is a big deal. But I want to say that there's many things in this life that we do that we convince ourselves is for the good of someone we care about. And that's a very windy road. That's a very dark road, because you make bad decisions. And the truth of the matter is, you really can't, believe me, take this from a major control freak, me. It is very, very hazardous to travel a road where you think that every decision you make that you think is going to make somebody else's life better is often wrong. You know, even with the best intentions. So certainly this, when you're talking about ending somebody's life or doing something like that, my good God, that's, and then of course when we go to the fact that so many of these cases were about babies, that's unconscionable for me. I can't even wrap my brain around that. However, have you seen the, this will get us on a tangent about marijuana, but have you seen the commercial with the two parents who have a child who has seizures? She's like about 3 years old in the chair, and they actually have on the commercial her starting a seizure, and they want everybody to sign for medical marijuana. And I look at that and I think to myself, what a really long, bumpy road that is. Knowing that you have a child that you love regardless of everything that's wrong, but you see them suffer every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And I mean natural suffering, not something you're inducing, which is Munchausen's. But those, if I was God, I would be going around handing out halos to all those people who do that for their whole life. Because in my mind, they are bigger heroes than anybody we've ever talked about. Because that's really a tough job, Shell. A really, really, really tough job.
Yep.
And every time I see that commercial, I think I visualize all three of them like I've known them for 50 years now, because I've seen that commercial so many times, and it hurts me to think that if that brings that baby some relief, by good God, you know, and I'm not even sure that I'm for that, you know, the marijuana thing, you know, you and I talk about this all the time, but for that, oh my God, if it made a difference, I would say anything would be all right, anything. So, but the Munchausen syndrome was very interesting, and there's a lot of legs to it, and a lot of you know, different stories that you hear that I think would be attributed to that disease. And then, of course, Tuesday we did the Bullies to Buddies show, and we talked out of the book. We went back into the book and talked about the different things that we can teach kids and the different lessons that you can give to kids so that they become more socially adept. They become not just a thicker skin, because then everybody thinks that you're asking the good kid to be the martyr. We're not saying that. We're just saying, you know, teach your child to not give so much credence to other people's words so that it hurts you. And there will be people that analyze what we said and say you're asking the kids that are being picked on to have a thicker skin and to tolerate anything or to turn the other cheek, all those things. That isn't what we're saying. It isn't what we're saying at all. I think that teaching a child to not take in, you know, Paul said to me, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And I said, well, that's true. But your memory, the words, never goes away. Never goes away. So learning how
But it never goes away if you let it bother you. I've had people say horrific things. And I don't, words go away because I don't let them bother me. And that's what we're trying to teach people.
Exactly.
We mean have a thick skin so that nothing penetrates it. It just doesn't get to you. That's what we mean. We don't mean being so tolerant that you walk around gritting your teeth all day, you know, with a fake smile on. That's not what we're saying at all. We're saying truly not let it bother you. That's the healthy response. Somebody says something mean to you, and you're like, well, you're entitled to your opinion. If that's what you think of me, then so be it. Nothing I can do about it. Or agree with them and say, you know what, doesn't that suck? You know, how would you like to be me and make a joke? You know, there's several ways you can handle it. If you don't agree with them, tell them they're entitled to their own opinion and smile and walk away. If you do agree with it, then kind of laugh at yourself with them. It's very disarming when you do that. So, and those are just two techniques. There's many techniques
right.
in doing this, but it has to be genuine. It doesn't help a child if you tell them to grit their teeth and deal with it, because that's not what we're saying. We're not saying tolerate it. We're saying genuinely don't care about it. And that has to do with teaching the child how to value themselves in a realistic way. You know, you don't want to create a monster either. You don't want to make the child think so much of themselves and then they start bullying people because they think they're superior. There's a way of finding that happy medium. And when you teach a child to find that happy medium, to value themselves but not value themselves as better than anybody else, then they have the ability of truly just kind of like shrugging that kind of stuff off and not letting it sit with them.
Yeah, just, you know, don't play the game. You know, like
exactly.
like we said Tuesday, you can't play badminton or tennis by yourself. So if somebody whacks it at you, don't whack it back, and the game's done. It's done.
That's right.
You know, so
they're not going to walk across the court, pick it up, and keep tossing it over if you're not sending it back
exactly.
to them.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
So, and that doesn't mean that you're the poop eater. That just means you're in charge. That's what it means.
Right.
So
right, it means
I think
the opposite.
Important.
Exactly. It means you're in charge. That's a perfect way of putting it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we also talked about teachers, in particular the Ron Clark story. And ironically, I had the opportunity this weekend again. I had a big meeting with some people, and we talked. And we talked about management, and we talked about running a place like the Institute or another kind of business. And I went to the Ron Clark story because I was so impressed about the fact that the young girl that blogged about it said, you know, he ate lunch with them. He went outside and learned how to jump rope with them. And
right.
he didn't make them into his buddies, but he was able to have a little bit more understanding about what they were going through. So I said to somebody, I said, that's what's important in the workplace. This Ron Clark had the right idea because he, you know, because Brian, well, I shouldn't even say his name, but our owner at the Institute didn't want that kind of fraternization with the staff.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be nice to everybody and wanted to, you know, like we did Christmas parties and stuff like that, and he wanted to recognize people for their good job. But he didn't want a lot of fraternizing because he was afraid that once you became friends, then people would get away with things. Instead of
mm-hmm.
becoming friends and helping each other so that the overall product became better, his thought process was that, no, then everybody would get too lackadaisical and wouldn't do a good job. I don't feel that way at all, and I know that's not the way it works if you're working with people that have a head on their shoulders.
Right.
So I brought this up at this management meeting, and I said, you know, being able to know what everybody on your workforce does every day is a strength that nobody can hand to you. It's an empowerment that nobody else can hand to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you understand their issues, you understand their challenges, you understand everything. And that's what this teacher did. And, of course, that's what when we talked about Annie Sullivan and the movie. I mean, I don't know, I wasn't there in real life, but the movie showed how she ate with Helen, how she,
mm-hmm.
she, you know, handed her clothes and tried to get her to get dressed and saw the challenges that Helen Keller, in her mindset, was struggling with, why the simple task of putting on shoes and socks was undoable in the very beginning, or
mm-hmm.
eating a plate of food was undoable in the very beginning. So instead of just throwing her in the corner and handing her the shoes and the socks and waiting for her to figure it out, she did it with her. Again, an amazing tool when you're trying to empower somebody, because
absolutely.
You can't just tell them unless you understand why they can't, right?
Yep, yep. Well, that's like when he wrote the book, you know, and I love the fact that he's got those three books out, and that the first two were written in 2004 and 2005, which was shortly after the movie came out, and the third one was actually written in 2012, so that was, or released in 2012. That was only a couple years ago, which means he's still putting information out there, and he writes all his books in list form. One of them was 101 things for parents and teachers to do. Another one was the 55 essentials, and then the one that I read on the air were the 11 steps of being an inspirational, motivating teacher or parent. And he has things on there like, being enthusiastic, being creative, being adventurous with them, because this is how he grew up in his family, and it's why he was always interested in things. So he took family dynamics that he was raised with, and then he turned them back out in his teaching. So when you talk about being a teacher, it's very, very closely related to the same techniques and characteristics that you would use in being a parent or being a boss. That's what's great about his books. I think anybody that interacts with other people can benefit from the techniques he talks about in these books. I've actually ordered the three books because I was so impressed with some of what I read, because on Amazon you can go and you can preview them. And I just love his ideals. They make so much sense, but it's not just for school teachers. The things he talks about can be used in any interaction when you're in a place where you have to give instruction to another person.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree with that 1,000,000%. I think, remember the first few shows we did, and I wrote Heart to Heart, which I haven't read in a while. I should do it again to remind us of our kind of our mission statement here. But it's all about hearing the rest of the story so many times. And we talked about that in the very beginning, knowing the rest of somebody's story, knowing what makes somebody do the things, the good things and the bad things that they do, why they're focused on doing something that you would never think of doing, perhaps. So knowing about that is what gives you the insight to how they got where they are. And
mm-hmm.
if you're a part of their life and are supposed to be helping in some way, it's imperative that you know those things, absolutely imperative. And so many people don't take the time to know that stuff. They think that they already know it because they've done it so many times. They think that they get it. They know it. And they may have an inkling to what's going on, but they don't know another individual's full story. It's impossible. So I love that story too, Shell, the Ron Clark story. And after the show the other day, I continued reading some of the other stuff that he said, and I was like, wow, what a good guy. I mean, really one of the good guys. And Thursday, of course, we talked about the history of Halloween, which was kind of fun as well.
Yeah, it really was.
I, I and then later that day on Facebook, people were, you know, having pretty rigorous discussions about all the people that don't approve of people celebrating a pagan holiday, and that when did Halloween become a time to dress up as a Ninja Turtle or a what's the guys that are in all the black that fight all the time? What a Ninja Warrior, yeah, Ninja Warriors, Ninja Turtles, all that stuff. There was discussion about that, and what is that celebratory of? And everybody's on Halloween. It's like a time to support all the old myths about death and all this kind of stuff. I was like, geez. I said, too bad all of you didn't listen to the show, because that's really not what it was about. It was about the ability to keep the dead souls at bay originally. That's why they originally did it, to appease them, to give them food and candy. And then it grew to food and candy being sometimes for the people that couldn't afford it. And it blossomed into many things. And now I have mixed emotions about this, but this is, I thought it would be fun to tell everybody, since we talked about Halloween at length Thursday, to let everybody know that right now there is a drive from dentists have organized this. You can sell your Halloween candy to a dentist, and they are sending it to our armed forces. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. So I understand you don't want the kids to eat all the candy because it's bad for their teeth. I get that, you know. And part of me is like, well, it's not such a bad idea. And the whole time they're talking about it, I'm thinking, well, what the hell are they going to do with all the candy, right? Because is it really, really good for anybody? I mean, when you're talking about good, it isn't for anybody, right? It's just one of our...
I understand where dentists are coming from, but I think, between you and me, I think that's excessive. I think if parents are parenting and their kid comes home with a basket of chocolate or a basket of candies, you tell them they can have, you know, a few of them a day. That's what my niece is doing. They're not allowed just diving in and sitting there and gorging for an hour. They're each allowed to have so many a day before, you know, before their dinner. After their dinner, they're not allowed having any before their dinner or before their lunch. They can have a few pieces after, and then they have to rinse their mouth with water. So, I mean, all you have to do is parent your kids. But if you're going to sit there and let them gorge and then drink soda with sugar afterwards, then of course they're going to rot their teeth, and they're not going to, it's not going to be healthy for them. But it's not the candy. It's that you know, the kids are allowed to just belly up to the bar and have no self-control, and you have to teach them how to do that. So I think the candy, I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't wait to get home, and I was one of these, like, analytical kids, so I'd sit there and I'd sort my candies, you know, and it was fun to do that, you know. So, if you just look at the celebration of what people are doing with the holiday, I think people get too fanatical about certain things, and it can be counterproductive, because then you take some of the fun out of life. I don't think it's a bad idea to know where the ritual came from so that people don't overreact to it, but I also don't think it is connected to a pagan holiday or this or that. If that's not what you're doing with it now, have that knowledge so that you don't, you know, so you don't have an inappropriate understanding of the holiday, but celebrate it for what it is now. It's not what it's about anymore. Now it's just about a day to party and have fun. So who cares what it started out with? That's an interesting fact, and I think it's useful. But if you're not celebrating it for that reason anymore, who cares? You know, if it's something that you think is a wrong thing to celebrate, it's really not what we're doing anymore. So I think people should just lighten up a little bit about that kind of stuff. But I think they should also be educated.
Well, the deal, though, is that... Cameron, they all know that I'm on the show this time of day. I don't know what their deal is.
The only thing I will say about Halloween, and this is, I can't go to some of the haunted houses that are out there because I think they go too far. I don't think all of Halloween has to be grotesque. I don't know why it got there. I guess it's because a lot of the movies, to be honest with you. I will not go to explicitly gory movies just because I don't enjoy exposing myself to that. It actually surprises me that some people, like, they just go to every Saw movie and they go to every gory movie like that. And to me, they're too upsetting to me. I can't watch them. I don't enjoy it. You know, so that's the only thing that's a little off for me. So I just choose not to go to those particular celebrations, you know. But that's the only thing in Halloween that I kind of temper. But the rest of it, I think as long as you're monitoring your kids, they should be allowed to have a good experience.
Oh, I do too. I do too. But I think we got off on a little bit of a tangent, and I think I might have misled you a little bit. It's not that they don't want the kids to have any of the candy. It's because it was in such abundance, and they're saying, now you got all this candy, and half the time, even the kids, I mean, unless they have an issue, don't even eat all the candy. I mean, I saw...
Oh, I see your point. I got you. I did take it, like, all or nothing mm-hmm. type of stuff.
Yeah, no. They're not saying that. They're just saying, now what are you going to do with candy that the kids don't even want to eat? So they want to send it to the soldiers. But I thought to myself, I find it amusing. It's like, because they're soldiers, that the candy's good for them, because there's always so much controversy over, especially with dentists, about the candy. And of course, I never had a dentist when I was a kid that said anything bad about having candy. They just said, like you just said, brush your teeth. It was about never having something. It was about how you, how you handled having something. And we, of course, have talked on the show a million times about having everything in, you know, perspective. Too much candy mm-hmm. isn't going to be good. Just like too much booze.
And the simplest thing is, if you're not in a place where you can brush your teeth, just swish your mouth with water a couple of times. That gets any of the acids and the sugar off the enamel, and at least it cleanses the palate. So, so people say, I can't carry a toothbrush around me. You can usually get water just about anywhere, even from a fountain. Just that's really all you have to do after you eat, and you should do it after you eat anything, because food can create, you know, acid in the mouth, which starts damaging the enamel. So I have a habit. I can't stand the way my mouth feels after I've eaten something. I always have to switch. It's just become a habit for me, and especially after something sweet, you know. But it's just a good practice for anybody to get into.
Well, and that's for sure. But the point is that, you know, it's like everything else. Today, you can go into any drugstore and get a toothbrush that's already got a little bit of toothpaste on it, and it's in a plastic wrapper, and you wet it and brush your teeth. That's how much thought has gone into that kind of hygiene.
A toothbrush on the go. I've never heard of that. That's wild.
Yeah. You can you just wet it and brush your teeth, and it's like disposable. You know, you don't keep them forever.
Yeah.
Huh. But the first time I saw them, I thought, geez, that'd be cool to do. Then you don't have to take toothpaste. And then I weighed the options. I thought, little tube of toothpaste and one toothbrush, or five little toothbrushes, and ended up with a little tube of toothpaste. But I still thought
it was
cool.
What about travel? They get where they're going, and it's like, you would not believe how many times I've traveled with, I've never done it yet, but I've been with people who did it, and they forget their toothbrush. And then they're like freaked out that they can't brush their teeth when they get where they're going, you know. So that would be a perfect solution. They sell that in the little the gift shops and stuff like that. Yeah, it'd be a great idea.
Yeah. I thought it was very smart and thinking ahead. So, but I think, oh gosh, Shell, can you talk about something? It looks like we have an issue here. So, can you go back to Clark's story, and I'll be right back on the air.
Sure. definitely an interesting week. We talked about all the different issues, like Rini said, with the Ron Clark story and then Halloween. And the only thing I would continue to say about Halloween or with any holiday is one of the things we do on this show I love is that we always research the history of any holiday or any event in this, you know, that we celebrate or take a day off from work from. And I find it interesting that a lot of times people will take that day off from work or celebrate a holiday, and they don't even understand where it actually came from, what were the grassroots reasons why that day is being commemorated now, and some of the struggles in that day around.
Volume
you back, Rene? Okay. So anyway, so I find that fascinating. I love the fact that we do that on this show, and I recommend people to do that. Now with the Internet, now with Google or any of the search engines, you can pop in any holiday, any government holiday or any holiday like Halloween, Christmas, Hanukkah, you know, those types of holidays, and really get the history of why people celebrate it, why they celebrate it the way they do, what the different things mean. Now, in Easter, there's a lot of pagan rituals that play out into that with the little chicks and the eggs and then all that. And some people are offended, and they're like, you know, why does the church even commemorate that? The bottom line is it's a beautiful time. I have beautiful memories from when I was a child and used to do Easter egg hunts and all that. Do I understand that it's based on pagan practices? Yeah, I get it. I understand that. So I'm not unrealistic about why the holiday exists today. But that doesn't take away from the beauty and the fun of it from when I was a child. And that's the point. You don't have to take the way the innocence of a child and the fun of a child just because you understand more where that holiday came from. Keep it fun. Keep it spiritual. If it was wrapped around remembering Christ like an Easter, or if it was wrapped around Halloween as being a celebration where everybody gets to go like a masquerade party, take it at face value and enjoy it. But don't stick your head in the sand. You know, understand that there's a deeper meaning. There was a different reason. It might have been being celebrated at one time. But now it's this, and we're going to have fun with what it's evolved into. Things go through evolutions, and that's not only natural, but it's healthy that things go through evolutions. You know, so we should never lose sight of why something started, but we should also not engage how it evolves. If it evolves in a way that's fun and, you know, brings joy to people, that's kind of the whole point. And that's where a lot of our celebrations come from. They're very, very commercialized. We could do a whole show just on the commercial aspect of holidays. These are like big money makers for businesses, you know, all over the country. And that's fine. You know, that's what they live for. There's a lot of people that make money off of Halloween or make money off of Easter or make money off of Christmas and Hanukkah. And that's fine, you know. But don't lose sight of what the spirit of the season is all about. The spirit of Halloween should be just to have fun. I think some people go too much to the dark side and kind of miss that. Instead of having fun with their costumes, they get a little bit too aggressive. That's just my personal opinion because I don't like so much gore and horror. But there are people that do like that, and there are places that they can really enjoy themselves. Universal Studios does the Halloween Horror Nights, and I love Universal Studios, but I cannot go there during that time. It's too explicit for me. It's too over the top. There are people that look forward to that every year. Disney also does a Halloween, but they do a not-so-scary Halloween event at that park. So you can pick and choose where you want to go based on your own personal likes and dislikes about what you like seeing at the holiday. You know, and I think that's what's important, is to just make sure that whatever you're celebrating it with a little bit of knowledge, understand where the celebration came from, but then keep it into where it evolved to for you and how it works for you. You know, so I don't disagree with the people that say that, you know, this used to be a pagan ritual, or this used to be that, this used to be that, because a lot of celebrations we do today were based on things that people aren't even aware of anymore. But I still say that, so what? You know, all right, so we understand that. It used to be for a different reason, but now this is what it's evolved into, and we're going to have fun with it. Or we're going to have a spiritual family day. when you look at, like, the other holidays, like Easter and Christmas and Hanukkah. These are beautiful family days. People bond. Christmas time just brings out the best in people. It can bring out the best and the worst, a lot of depression at Christmas time. But you see a lot more generosity around that, those holidays, Christmas and Hanukkah. You see a lot more giving. You see a lot more patience at those times of the year. A lot of depression because of the commercialization. And that's why I was saying we could actually do a whole show just on that, because that's what happens. You know, it becomes so commercialized, people lose sight of what the holiday is really about, which is really a very spiritual, family-oriented holiday, and they concentrate on just the gift-giving part, the materialistic part, and that's a shame, because if you go there, if you lose sense of what those holidays were really all about, then you can get caught up in the materialism, in the commercialism. And if you're not in a position to buy a lot of presents for family or friends, then you start realizing the stress. The stress can make you physically sick, can bring about depression and things like that. So it's really not a good place to be. So that's why I'm saying embrace what these holidays are supposed to bring about in you. Christmas time, whether you... And I know there's other holidays. You have Christmas, Hanukkah, and I know there's other holidays for other ethnicities that are practiced. I can't think of – I know there's a couple of the names that I'm drawing a blank on, so I apologize. But, you know, both of these spiritual practices are very family-oriented, are very spiritual-oriented. You know, getting back to being self-aware and being kind and being generous, you know, and if you just concentrate on that and not really allow yourselves – to be drawn in by the commercialism and the materialistic aspects that have been created through businesses, just concentrate on what the holiday is about. There were Christmases I had as a kid where we didn't really have enough money to do anything, and yet my memory of them is still beautiful because my parents didn't make a big deal about it. You know, they didn't get all depressed. They didn't, you know, they said, look, this is what we can do this year. And it's up to you whether or not you're going to be happy. This is all we can give you. And it was just, you know, little stuff. But it was because of the way they presented it. They didn't present it like we were being deprived, so we didn't feel like we were being deprived. And parents have a real opportunity to teach their kids how to deal with the ups and downs in life, you know. And they said, you know, we'll try to make up for it next year. So it is quite amazing.
I think that's the most important thing, honey, is how you are educated by your parents, by your elders, in how you accept something or not accept something. It's their presentation to you that makes it okay. And your mom and dad let you know that this didn't have anything to do with they loved you more last year than they do this year. They made sure that you didn't think that for something you did, this Christmas is going to be real light. It doesn't have anything to do with, or even them. And they don't want to make you feel like, you know, well, if I go without a little bit this year, maybe next year we'll have a bigger Christmas. It was all in their presentation. So you just took it as different. This year was a little different than last year. Next year is going to be a little bit different than the year after. So the fact that they did that, of course, that's an issue because you and I both know with all the stories we've read and all the people we've talked to that, you know, not everybody talks to their kids like they're smart enough to understand what they're saying, and that is an issue. But as far as Halloween is concerned, for me, Halloween has always been one of my favorite holidays because if you're a grown-up and you grew up fast like me, it's a time to act like a kid. And it's fun. It's great fun.
That's right.
No, without any of the you know, I don't know, the deciding who's, you know, gone overboard, who hasn't gone overboard, just have fun with it. Isn't there enough in our lives that we don't need to make something, you know, a big deal that doesn't need to be a big deal, because most of us have got plenty of big deals going on already. At the on Saturday at the festival, it was an Odyssey, Raw Odyssey, Space Odyssey, and they two.
Right, it was from 2001, the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. Yep.
And there were two young people with stilts, and all silver from head to foot. They were amazing. And a lot of the dressed like characters from, you know, like Star Wars and stuff like that. So it was great fun. And you can do it, or you don't have to do it. Maybe you're just, you know, maybe you're just one of those kind of people who likes to watch everybody else be silly, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's okay too. But it shouldn't be something that people find something wrong in, unless wrongdoing is taking place.
Of course, and sometimes people do get carried away. Like I was talking about, like on Halloween, some people take it too far and start doing mean pranks. You know, and obviously then that doesn't make the holiday bad. That makes that person not responsible. You know, if you're going to take things to an extreme where you harm somebody either emotionally or physically, you know, because I know people that get into the scary part of Halloween too much. And if you like being scared, fine. But I know people that don't like being scared. And when you inflict it on someone that may or may not have your same, you know, lust for having the wits scared out of you, that's not appropriate, you know. But you can choose different types of celebrations. Like I had mentioned, I didn't know if you heard it, Universal Studios in Orlando does Halloween Horror Nights. It's too intense for me. I don't enjoy it. I love Universal the rest of the year. I could go there every day. I just love the place. But that's the one time of the year when they're doing that, I don't enjoy the park because it's too intense. It's too realistic. Disney in Orlando does a not-so-scary Halloween thing, and it's because they have more younger children. Universal is more geared towards, like, you know, a little bit older crowd, still children, but not really, like, little tiny kids, where Disney is really catered towards very, very, very young children. So they have a less scary Halloween celebration going on there. So it's easier. So you can pick and choose. If you're like me, then don't go to Universal. Right. Go to Disney, you know. But don't begrudge the people who do like it and do go there because, hey, that floats their boat, you know. I just choose not to go there, you know. But the flip side of that is if that is the type of scary that you like, don't inflict it on other people that you're not sure go there because then that kind of, that makes you cruel. There's no fun in that. So you got to have a little bit of self-awareness.
It's your right to not want to go. It's not your right to inflict your feelings on someone else, just like it's your right to go, but not to inflict your feelings or your judgments on somebody who doesn't want to go.
Exactly.
That's something that's difficult understanding most of us. But I think that Halloween this year, I thought it was cute. I loved some of the outfits that came to my door. And I thought, you know, my one of my older granddaughters is accepted for the last, well, this was her third year at Fright Night at the at Palm Beach Fairgrounds. And it's a big deal. They bring in students from, art studios and stuff to do the makeup and to make everybody really scary. And they come up with skits and they do all kinds of things. And Melissa, who took it very seriously and had a lot of fun, some of her costumes I loved, some I didn't like at all. they gave her one where it looked like from her nose down the front of her mouth had just been mutilated. And like you felt about some of the things in Disney World, I said to her, I said, see, that's not scary to me. I feel like I should be slapping disinfectant on you and cleaning you up and hoping you're going to be okay. So it doesn't, it's not scary to me. I'm worried, and I don't like that feeling. Now, the other costume, she was a witch in one of them, and the costume and the makeup was amazing. And but Friday night at Halloween, some kids tried to hurt one of the entertainers. And Melissa is like a house mom for her group of people that all gets made up together and everything. And she walked up and said, you know, you can't do that. Leave him alone. You know, this is a show. You can't fight back and you can't get crazy. And he turned around and took a swing at Melissa right in the jaw. And Melissa was like, okay, that wasn't very smart because now you can't come back here ever again. So she called the carrier radio and she called authorities and they came and removed this kid from the park. But
wow.
Again, this in when she told me this story, I was like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's like the bartender that gets upset because she gets somebody so drunk that she can't deal with them anymore. And that's kind of what a thing like Fright Nights does. It gets some people, not everybody, most of us know how to deal with things, but let's not forget, we don't wear a sign if we're having internal issues. So I think this was somebody who got too excited, too wrapped up in what was going on. And that's an issue sometimes. And I would imagine that happens at Disney World, too, in that. Because, yeah, David has been to that and has told me it's really scary and gross, sometimes very, very gross.
Oh, that's
gross.
Universal, not Disney. Disney does the one for the younger kids, so it's called Not So Scary Halloween Nights. The one at Universal is intense. The makeup is grotesque. The people run up on you. Some of them have chainsaws. And I mean, not real chainsaws, but it makes the sound of a chainsaw. You know, and they'll run up on you. My sister had gone one year with George and my other niece Danielle. I don't know who else went, but I know that because they were talking about it in front of me. And one of the guys ran up to my sister and startled her so bad that she punched him in the nose. She turned around and hit him with her fist backhanded because he came so close in her personal space, and it was just a knee-jerk reaction. She wasn't escorted from the park, though, because the guy got too close to her. They're not supposed to come that close to an individual. They're supposed to come at you and stop, and he came right on her, and it was like a knee-jerk reaction. So she didn't get in trouble for it, and she apologized to him afterwards, but she socked this guy right in the nose. He had to stop for a minute. And, you know, so it does happen. But that, so she actually doesn't like it. She doesn't go anymore because of that. It's too intense. But she didn't continue afterwards. She didn't, like, yell at the guy. She actually felt bad that she did that, you know, once she sees him standing there and he's not so scary anymore while he's holding his face, you know.
Well, but that was a reaction, and I'm sure that they have to, they probably deal with that on a regular basis, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, I think that that's the way it is. But again, you know, it's if you don't like it, don't participate. If you don't approve, don't, you know, don't be a part of it. It is your right to not like something. It is your right to feel, to have an opinion about something. It's everybody's right to do that. But, you know, if you don't like it, don't do it.
And don't let your friends browbeat you into that. You know, everybody has their own sensitivities. You know, I'm the type of person, I don't allow myself to, one time I did in my entire life, and I regretted it, so I don't do it anymore. But, you know, if you're really, if you don't like that kind of gore and stuff, then don't participate. And don't let your friends tell you, oh, you know, make fun of you over it. It's not what I like to do. So I just don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge of you.
That's right. And that's it. And that's where it ends. You're in charge of you, and that's where it ends. I mean, unless you're talking about your or something like that. But pretty much that's it. So, again, tomorrow, I really, really can't wait. We're going to talk about the Bullies to Buddies and the karate deal and all that stuff that is going on out there so that we can get a handle on that. And I have some things that I need to say about what the teacher said to Paul's daughter. And a continuation on Wednesday with the beautiful young woman that took her own life so that she didn't have to go through the struggles of her life ending due to the brain cancer. So we have a great week in store. I hope you'll all come back and join us and go out today, though, and have a wonderful day. God bless. Thanks, Shel.
Yes, thanks, Renee. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.